You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us for Major Week here on the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's the 116th edition of the US Open Championship, and Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall all here to preview the big event, which starts at Oakmont on Thursday. First of all, before we get stuck into the odds, a warm welcome to Mike Grenham. Hello,
hi,
Mike.
Hi.
And Dave Tindall.
Hello. Look, I'm very excited. It's one of them I love majors. I really do.
I love tough majors as well, Mike, and I think we're going
Mike
to get
doesn't he, yeah.
Yeah, I like major. Tough majors. Yeah, it's could be a bit too tough, couldn't it? We'll see. Yeah, it's
is your dream that it'll be won in over par?
Oh, definitely. We don't want the US Open being won in under par, do you?
Jason Day is the tournament favourite here with William Hill, 13-2. Rory McIlroy is 15-2. Jordan Spieth in the betting at 9-1. Dustin Johnson 14-1. Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose and Phil Mickelson, all 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Let's start by talking about the golf course, because Oakmont is the host for this year's championship. It's already hosted the US Open 8 times previously, and some of the legends of the game, Mike, have won at what is one of the most iconic golf courses in the world.
Yes, and one of the toughest, according to Phil Mickelson, if not the toughest, so... lots of stories about how the members love it to be really tough, and they make guests play and tell them they won't hit their handicap, but they'll double the handicap, and they seem to enjoy the pain of it all. So I say fair play to them. It sounds like the kind of place I'd like to watch golf.
Tom Fazio.
Rather than one of these putting contests, 29 under after 3 rounds. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get that because the rough is up. They've increased the sand in the bunkers, so you'll get some sketchy lies in bunkers.
Yeah.
And the greens are like lightning, faster greens than Augusta, which will be something, and they're more heavily undulated than Augusta as well. So it could, if it doesn't rain, Dave, be one in over par, this golf tournament. And Jordan Spieth said in his press conference...
What do you mean it could? It almost certainly will be over par, won't it?
Unless it rains. Jordan Spieth thought that if it rained heavily on the... I think it's Thursday or Friday, they're due a lot of rain.
Yeah,
they could maybe get after the golf course a little bit.
There'll still be 3 days where it's not like that. I'd be very surprised if it's under par.
Cabrera won there in 2007 with 5 over. Mm. I mean, what would you say? Pick 'em under overs?
I'd be over 5, yeah? I think. Yeah, I think it might be nearer 10.
Do you think so? The winning score?
I do.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of guesswork attached to that, but when you've mentioned the key factor, Dave, if the greens are softened up and they slow down because there's lots of rain, then that will have an impact and the scoring will be a bit better. But if it's not, then the last 2 days are very sunny, very hot, and they don't like that course too. They like it to be... seem to be tough.
It's a funny one to watch, isn't it? And follow when it's so hard, because you think, oh, he's having a shocker, and yet you have to sort of train your brain to think, you know, 4 over isn't bad, because you're so used to that being a disastrous score.
Yeah. Mm.
You've sort of got to rethink it and look at it again, think, hang on, he's actually doing quite well here.
And I think given we had kind of farcical conditions at Chambers Bay last year, even though the cream eventually rose to the top in terms of that leaderboard, the greens were very poor, weren't they, last year?
They were awful, weren't they?
But this venue, it's steeped in such history. Even though you might have murmurings of discontent, I think it's manicured beautifully. And the players, I think, most of them will be up for the challenge.
Monty, I read somewhere that Monty said that he thought that about 100 of the players, whenever he went to a US Open, didn't really want to be there. Right. Like tough courses.
And he loved it, didn't he?
Yeah, because mentally they weren't quite ready for it. I've seen some players, a couple of things I've seen on Twitter is Benny Anna hitting a putt about 30 feet.
Yeah, that bunker shot.
How fast were the greens there?
Oh, unbelievable. And Justin Thomas, there's loads on Twitter and on Instagram of different areas of the golf course. And Justin Thomas dropped his ball from about 3 feet above the ground. And you couldn't see it once it went in the rough.
Literally couldn't see it in the rough, could you? So... Yeah. that I'll be very surprised if it's not five over winning it.
It'll
really need to soften up.
Yeah.
What are your expectations this week then, Dave? Are you approaching things statistically? You're looking at the usual attributes when it comes to a US Open, things like a player not only with recent form but championship form as well. It is obviously the toughest test in golf, this.
Yeah, I do like players who've done that in a major. I mean, Cabrera, when he won in 2007, it looked a bit, where did that come from? But he was world ranked 39 at the time. He'd had numerous top tens in majors before, so he was a class act. I think maybe the feeling was, well, it's a US Open, he's too wild off the tee, but I think it's one of the biggest myths going, that you have to hit it straight.
I think statistically that stacks up, doesn't it, really, that length off the tee in a US Open has been in the past more vital than
accuracy.
Yeah,
because it just means everyone's going to find the rough, but if you're that much further down the fairway, it's easier to hit out with a nine iron.
That's the key thing, Dave, isn't it? I think if you're hitting it a long way and you're a bit wayward, as you were just about to say, you're nearer the green, aren't you?
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
And therefore you're going in, you know, you can go in with, nine iron or whatever. So, yeah.
So if shorties missed,
they've got to, the shorties have to hit it.
They're
accurate,
in trouble, aren't they?
Yes,
they
that's the key.
Too.
Yeah. And we saw, just referencing that 2007 US Open at Oakmont, obviously that was when Tom Fazio had made his changes and removed the trees, and that's when it did play much tougher than previous editions at Oakmont had played in the past. We saw a mix of different types of players at the top of that leaderboard. Which means it's more difficult maybe to work out, Mike.
Which makes it a fascinating puzzle, because there was everyone from David Toms and Jim Furyk to Bubba Watson and Angel Cabrera.
Yeah,
you know,
so. Notably, it was Bubba's only decent effort in a US Open. So clearly it counted for something. And Cabrera was second in driving distance that week.
He was a monster, wasn't he, back in the day, Cabrera? Yep. He hit it a long way.
Yeah.
But then there was, much shorter players. So I think some people have said this, you need an all-round game here for this course. It's whoever plays best earns it. It's not going to be all the bombers in the top 10. It's going to be a mix, isn't it? And that's fascinating. Well, you know.
How many picks have you got then, Mike?
Two.
I've got two.
Yes, two.
Okay. Six picks then. Let's see if we match. Mike, you lead us off.
I'm going first, am I?
Yeah, you lead us off.
Youngest first, okay. Patrick Reed is my nap for this contest at 50-1. A great scrambler. His shots gained around the green stats are great. High on the bogey avoidance, number fourth on tour in bogey avoidance, which I think is important. He could do with putting a little better in truth this year, but his form's been really good. Six top 15s in his last nine events. Only played in two US Opens, and last year he led at the halfway stage before eventually finishing 14th. I have Patrick Reed down in my mind as a real US Open player. He's just got that kind of combative, never give up kind of attitude. As I say, if he can get the flat stick going well this week, his current form is really good, and he did show up last year very well in a US Open. So 50-1 for a player that, to me, he's better than that. He's not maybe in the top four or five players in the world, but he's not a long way behind them, and the price differential is significantly greater than that. So I'm hoping that he's if he doesn't hit the greens in the right number. And by the way, he is decent. He's 12th on the strokes tee to green stats this year, is Patrick. So, yeah, nice 8th at Memorial last time out. 15th at the Dean and DeLuca before that. Really, in really good, solid form. I expect a very big week for Patrick Reed.
50-1. Patrick Reed, Mike's headline selection here. Dave Tindall.
Let me tell you a story.
Story time with Dave Tindall.
Yeah, get you rocking chair and the slippers on. Yeah. Relax. I was on my way to William Hill last week, I think, and I was flicking in Smith's at the magazines, and in Golf Monthly they'd done a little piece where they've interviewed our friend Mark Brody, you know, the stats.
Oh yeah, strokes. Yeah. Dane guy, yeah.
Yeah, the stats guru. And they specifically asked him, what are the key stats this week at Oakmont? There's this little sidebar in a very good preview features.
Yeah.
And he identified four stats that he looked back in history, Oakmont form and US Open form in general. He identified driving distance, proximity to the hole, scrambling, and strokes gained putting.
Right.
He said they were the four keys to do well at Oakmont this week. So Golf Monthly then looked at the rankings of each of the top 15 players in the world. Obviously, Golf Monthly is a magazine. It has a deadline, a preview. So basically, they were probably in the right area, but reading it now, it's about a month out of date, possibly. Mm. So what I did, I went and looked at anyone at 100 to 1 or less and noted their categories. And bizarrely, it came out the guy I was hoping to back anyway.
Go on then.
And that is Mark Leishman.
Mark Leishman. Yeah. Okay.
So on those four categories, you added up their scores in where they are.
So, for example, Jason...
What did you do with the Europeans?
That was the slight problem, yeah. I could have put in their own one. You know, we've got driving distance, but then it gets a bit dodgy, doesn't it, after that?
Yeah.
And there's so few drives that are measured on the European Tour as well, which is a concern.
So that's a problem for Willett. It's a problem for Westwood. It's a problem for Keimer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a perfect science. I've had to gloss over that a bit. But, for example, Jason Day, 20th in driving distance, only 179th in proximity, 42nd scrambling, first strokes going putting. You add all that together to get a score. He comes out with 2.42. McIlroy's bizarrely similar, 2.43. Mm. But by a mile, Leishman comes out at 1.55. So he seems to do everything well that you need to do well. Hits it long, 42nd in driving distance, 83rd in proximity, 13th in scrambling, 17th in strokes game putting. So those those short game ones are particularly impressive.
Yeah.
So he beat the player in second by 20 points, which when you added them up, some of the differentials are quite small, but 20 is quite a big margin. Mm. So shall I give you the top 10?
Fire away.
I'll just read them out. So Leishman was top. Dustin Johnson, Spieth, Mickelson, Koepka, Schwartzel, Scott, Charlie Hoffman, Jason Day, Daniel Berger, Rory McIlroy. So they were the 10.
Right.
But obviously, I don't want to base everything on this, but Leishman I did like because he's got form in majors, hasn't he? He's had a top five top five in a major in each of the last 3 years. Got to a playoff in the Open at St Andrews last summer. I also think he's got a good temperament. Now, this is where I would maybe differ with Mike on Patrick Reed. I think he'll get the hump. I think we saw him get the hump at Chambers Bay last year.
Possibly,
he's not going his way. I'm thinking of guys who are really sort of switched off, like Goosen.
Level-headed.
Yeah, who just kind of plod along. But I guess you could argue...
Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera's switched off. You could argue
that... No, Cabrera would be a hot-headed...
Well, I don't know, but you could argue that Spieth is a hot-head.
Bubba would be, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you could argue that Spieth is a bit... You know,
he gets wound up, Spieth, but he's a technician, isn't he, Spieth? Yeah. I mean, in terms of course management,
but I think generally I like a US Open, a level-headed guy. We'll see anyway. But Leishman is a, you know, his wife had that strange illness, didn't he? That toxic syndrome. Yeah. So I think his perspective is very much changed after that. So I think he's got the right temperament, he's got good stats, and he's got the form too, hasn't he? He's played really nicely in the last few events, and I think he's tied 13th Colonial, tied 11th Memorial. I think he's right there.
But one thing I want to pick up on here is the scrambling attribute this week. Yeah. That's one that I'd have way down the list of attributes needed around Oakmont, because the rough is that penal around the greens. These players that are brilliant scramblers...
It's just a hack.
Yeah, I don't think they have any amount of control. I don't think they are going to be seen at their absolute optimum on a golf course like this, because it is just a hack out. That's my reading of the situation. I would have that low down on my
I think there are times. So we go with Kellner or Brody, which we go with. I know exactly what you're saying. I guess you're not always going to get a horrible lie.
So no, you're not.
So I think the skill element is there still.
Okay.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mark Leishman, I think our odds compilers kind of agree with me. And
66-1.
Yeah, we've taken, but that might get bigger on Wednesday.
That's one thing we always say here with William Hill. Do wait till Wednesday to take the prices, because
and I'm not going to miss
him,
basically.
There probably will be some push-outs, yeah. I'm going with Martin Keimer as my headline here at 66-1. Missed the cut at Chambers Bay last year, but a US Open is his kind of test, and he's been a top 15 three of the last 6 years in this major. When he won at Pinehurst, it was his lag putting that was absolutely superb, and I get the feeling that will be a key attribute this time around on these greens as well. Three and four putting is going to be a major issue, definitely on this golf course, and keeping mind and body in sync for the week will be crucial. Keimer should be able to maintain his composure, and there's a lot to like about his form coming into the tournament as well. Finished fifth at the Irish Open, closed with a 65 there. followed that with a tie for seventh at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, and he played Valderrama well in tough conditions earlier on in the season to finish sixth. I thought he was certainly worth a play at 66-1. It wouldn't have been my headline this week, but I'll mention my second pick shortly, but he's been ducked in the betting. I'm still going to leave him in. But Keimer, I like his chances this week at 66-1, so yeah. I'll play my point each way.
If I'd have been doing three picks in this, he'd have been in my picks.
Would he?
Yeah,
oh,
he was the last man off for me.
Yeah, but I just thought top five.
I had to keep down to two, so I dropped him.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. He's playing sneaky good, isn't he? And he's yeah, he could definitely figure in. He's got a very good US Open record, which I think is clear key. As I just pointed out to Dave, unlike Mark Leishman.
Yeah, Mark Leishman's not got a US
Open stick it to him
record, like, yeah.
He give you some stick about Patrick.
That's well, I'll have a free lunch bit on Patrick Reed versus Leishman. How about that?
Yeah, go for it. Good.
Very good. Resurrected the free lunch bit. I like that as well. It is major week.
Well, I do think that US Open experience is important. And, you know, joking about, Keimer has won one, hasn't he? Which is... You know, and some good finishes, I think, in the last six US Opens. And he's been out of form sometimes, hasn't he? He's got three top 15s, including a win.
Yeah.
That is rock-solid form.
Rock-solid.
Around the greens, Davey worries me a little bit, which is probably why... But having said that, one of the other guys I picked is probably even worse around the greens, so...
That's why I like it, though, this US Open. I prefer Keimer to be on a course like this one where the... I think he performs better when he's hacking it out of deep rough, basically, compared to when there's runoff areas and you've got to manufacture shots.
Yeah, but at Pinehurst, though, that's...
Yeah, but Pinehurst, he putted from everywhere.
That's what I mean. So he can't do that this week, so why is that good?
Yeah, but Pinehurst was a little bit of a different test because it had a more links... I feel we're back to a natural US Open golf course rather than a links-style golf course this week. Would you agree with that? Chambers Bay and Pinehurst at links fields more than
yeah, that's fair enough. But because Keimer won on one of the ones that it's not, isn't it?
I know that. I understand that. And I understand that he lag putted everything. But on a traditional US Open golf course, you'd usually have to manufacture shots and chips.
Yeah.
Pinehurst was a different test where he could put everything at Pinehurst. Pinehurst was basically the perfect US Open venue for him.
Yeah.
Keimer. But I think this one, I don't think chipping around the greens is going to be as much of a factor as you do.
Because it's an interesting thing you're saying. You don't think scrambling in around the greens are important because it's so tough.
Yeah.
Do you hold the same for putting, that putting's not important? Being a good putter is not important because the putting's going to be very tough. It's an interesting read on that, but for me, I think the guys who aren't good at scrambling could have an awful week around the greens.
You know,
guys who aren't good at putting could have an awful week putting.
I think lag putting.
I'm worried about
lag putting
for those reasons. You know,
I think lag putting is very important. I'd rather have a putter a guy that's not going to be too aggressive out there from a putting standpoint.
Yeah, but good putters are good lag putters, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I think it's the same point. Mm. But that's we'll see. And the truth of the matter is, some of it will depend on the conditions and how penal the rough is if the. You know, if the rain gets in and it helps the growth, there's a lot of...
imponderables.
There is. That's why it's so fascinating.
Golfers aren't going to tweet a sort of nice lie, are they? They're going to tweet the horror headline-making lie.
Yeah. Of course.
So shall I give my second pick?
Yeah, you give your second pick.
Well, this fella's not a great putter to be... Well, he's not a great scrambler, should I say. He's all right at putting this season. Jason Duffin, I'm going to give another go to Jason Duffin.
He is a laid-back, cool dude.
Yeah, he is. To be fair, Dave, I do accept your point on Reed. A bit like... I very nearly picked Bubba Watson this week, but he's got an awful US Open record. And I was just... Although he played well at Oakmont before, I'm just worried that he could get a hot-headed and blow up, which he did in the Masters this year a bit, and in a couple of other events, Phoenix springs to mind.
But yeah. I think Reed's a lot mentally stronger than Bubba Watson is.
Yeah.
I understand your point about Patrick Reed being a bit of a hothead and maybe losing his cool, losing his rag, but I think... When the going gets tough, we've seen it in the Ryder Cup, haven't we? He gets going to a certain extent.
That'd be more my view.
Close with Reed.
Yeah, that'd be more my view. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how he reacts. You're certainly right to say that Duffin is more laid back, for sure.
He can't get any more. He'd be horizontal if he got any more laid back.
Absolutely. So, nice solid form. Won the career builder this season. A sixth in the Dean and DeLuca before 33rd in the Memorial last time out. So... Just playing really decent, solid tee to green golf, which is what his speciality is. He's top 20 on that stat, and shots gained approaching the green. So a real greens in regulation man, but in contrast to Reed, I'm hedging my bet slightly here, not very good at scrambling or shots around the green. So I'm hoping that he's hitting the green in the right number and putting it reasonably well. He's putting this season's been a little bit better. He's a US Open player, this fellow. In the last four US Opens, he's gone fourth, fourth, miscut and 18th. And interesting, one of those fourths was at Merion in the same part of the world as this. He's a major winner, let's not forget, Duffner, again on the East Coast. He's 100-1. I think that's a big price for someone who's been in good form. He'll need to be at his sharpest around the greens for sure, but if he can get into a nice groove, I'd hope. He started very well here, actually. The last time it was here, then had a horror weekend. But that's a long time ago for Duffner. He was pretty inexperienced then. I'm hoping that those treble figure odds might be well overstated on Jason Duffner.
Duffner, Mike's second selection. Dave, your second pick?
Yeah, I'm going with a former major winner as well, in Charles Schwartzel. I thought his odds were big at 66-1. I think you put him up, Mike, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I found him very frustrating, yeah. Dave.
But he was still, what, top 15 in that event? I think he
might have been 11th, did he finish?
Was it Memorial you put him up?
Yes.
Yeah, it was 11th then, yeah. Yep. So although it was frustrating for Mike and the Schwartzel backers, it pretty good performance. I think he made 26 birdies that week, so he just couldn't quite get it all together. But he does play well in the US Open. He's had four top 16s in the last six attempts, so he's a good US Open player. I think that's down to his short game. I think that can be brilliant, can't it, when Schwartzel's on. Nice warm-up, as I said, at Memorial. We've also got the bonus. I didn't realise this. He actually did play there in 2007 at Oakmont when he was a 22-year-old. So I thought, well, he wouldn't have started his US, but he did, and he finished 30th. I thought, for a young player, that's pretty good form. Tied 7th at Chambers Bay last year, which was a good effort because I don't think he liked that course at all, like many of them didn't. So he has played well in some US Opens, unlike Leishman, admittedly. And he's won twice this year. And I think one of the big things this year with Schwartzel, he won the Valspar. And if you look at that, was won in -7. That's the third highest winning score
on the PGA Tour this season.
So only the Masters and Torrey Pines, when the weather was crazy, wasn't it, on that last round? That have been harder. So he can grind when he needs to. I just think he's got all of the right attributes to
play well.
Do
you
know
one of my worries about him, Dave? And he was on my longer list, and he has been playing well, and a lot of what you say is true. One thing that worried me, and if you go back and look at his Memorial scorecard, if you're able to, out of sand, he was awful at Memorial. He was not getting up and down at all because I was following every shot. That would be a little worry this week. Mind you, the bunkers are going to be that hard that maybe no one will be able to get up and down, to be fair. But that would be one of the things that put me off. But I can see it, and I think he's a major winner at a decent price, and he was on my list. I think they were slightly burnt by that. He was up and down like a fiddler's elbow in that event. I'm glad I chose that one. in that event, he was he was birdie and then bogey, but it was so frustrating mentally. I just wonder whether...
For you or for Charles?
Both. It's a treble bogey, he did all sorts of stuff, and I just wonder whether that could be a 10 in the US Open on one of the holes or something, you know? That'd be my worry.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Do you back players who never make bogeys, or do you back players who make a lot of birdies?
I'm the former in
because
the US
Open. Because do you remember the one at Olympic Club where Webb Simpson won?
I'm going to talk about that one in a second.
Like, Jim Fiora, I think, led into the final round, and he just kept par, par, par. And no one would do anything. And suddenly Simpson came along, started throwing birdies out there, and they counted like almost double, didn't they? Because of that.
Yeah.
So someone who can make them, I quite like.
Yeah, Jim Fiore was up there for a long way, though, making those
And then he
pars.
Just couldn't get off that sort of par train, and then it just caught up with him.
I'll tell you about Olympic Club.
So you need to make birdies and not bogeys. That's our summary. Yeah. We've sussed this golf game out now, haven't we?
Yeah. I think you get a better score as a rule.
Hopefully Webb Simpson will be that man because he's my second selection, Webb Simpson, from Olympic
this
Club.
Was planned.
Yeah. And I was going to have a bigger stake on Simpson because when I was looking yesterday, he was 125-1 with Hills. He's now 80-1. So that's a huge cut in price. I'm hoping they're going to push him out again on Wednesday, but... I had to have him in my portfolio this week. He's made the cut on all five of his US Open starts, Webb Simpson. taking his only major back at Olympic Club in 2012. And I think of the recent venues used for this tournament, Olympic Club is the most comparable. I know.
Do you, Dave? Yeah, West Coast.
Yeah, I know Cabrera won at Oakmont. And Tiger Woods contended, but as you mentioned earlier, I find it significant that Jim Furyk was second at Oakmont in 2007 and contended at Olympic Club, as Dave just mentioned, eventually finishing fourth. David Toms, who you mentioned, finished fifth at Oakmont back in 2007, and since then he's been a disaster in the US Open, really, but finished fourth at Olympic Club. Rose and Westwood both played at Oakmont in 2007. And played well at Olympic Club in those majors as well. And interestingly enough, Jordan Spieth in his press conference was asked a question and he responded by saying, if it remains fast and firm, look at how the fairways played at Olympic Club, because you've got to manoeuvre the ball into these fairways like you had to back in 2012. So I found that pretty intriguing. And even though with Simpson it's taken him a while to get used to the new putting grip, going from anchored to non-anchored. There's definitely been an upturn recently in his putting statistics, and his ball striking's been superb most of the season. His latest two starts finished third at the Dean and DeLucia Invitational and 11th at Memorial. So even though the putting is a concern, I think he's going to have a big week ball striking Webb Simpson around this golf course, and I like him. I'd have liked 125-1, but I'm willing to give him a go at 80-1 and reduce the stakes slightly on right. that bet.
Mm. Yeah, you do get a few repeat winners, don't you, in the US Open. Goosen won it twice in relatively short space of time. Else won twice.
Mm. I think US Open form. I think we mentioned this, haven't we? Mm. US Open form's
even though they move
this week.
Very venues, much so. Yeah,
yeah, I think so. A bit like the Open, whilst it's at different courses every year, that the same sort of characters come up, the same suspects are there or thereabouts.
Similar demands, isn't there? Even though we talked about differences in golf courses, similar demands.
Yeah. I've gone for two players in Reed and Duffner, and Kaimu would have been the next up, that absolutely are what I would call the US Open players. Not as much evidence with Reed as with some of the others, admittedly. He's only played a couple, but both good finishes. You know, and the other guy that was on my mind is Brent Snedeker, who is a good US Open player. Yeah. He'd have been number four on my list, to be fair. I do. I think it matters.
Who else came closest for you then, Dave?
I think Rose. Obviously won at Merion, which is also in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He was tied 10th at this same course, so we know he can play this course. He even won the AT&T in Pennsylvania in 2010. So
just been injured, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the only concern with me. I liked Rose a lot, but just 20, that back injury. Yeah.
He has tweeted pictures of himself sort of with a big sort of medicine ball or whatever. You know, so you think he can't be that bad, can he? He was in a sort of squatting position, but I think he'll go well, though. I won't be too put off by his bad back. I mean, I think there's all sorts of ailments going on. It's enough to put me off, ultimately, I guess.
You'd be watching him in running, I guess, is what you're saying. And I think, you know, it's fair to say that this is a really great puzzle this week, so I'm saving a few quid back for him running, because you just need to see what the tee times do. The weather forecast, as Dave intimated earlier, thunderstorms could give an advantage to one half of the draw or another. I can't quite work it out which way around myself yet. Just see how whether there's a lot of noise before events, isn't there? And sometimes, you know, when they actually get started, something's changed, don't they? They've put the greens out as tough or the, you know, whatever, you know. So I'll be saving a bit back for him play.
A couple I want to mention quickly. Brooks Koepka, even though I'm finding it hard to forgive him throwing away the Byron Nelson Championship when I was on, but he's obviously beaten in the playoff there, tied second in the FedEx St. Jude.
Yeah, comes out well in these stats.
In Dave's stats. And you look at his form in US Opens, fourth at Pinehurst, 18th at Chambers Bay in his last two starts. So I like Koepka. And we need to mention Phil Mickelson as well, don't we?
A lot of money for him, I think.
Lots of money for him. And that's kind of put me off. 28-1 is now maybe a little bit short in the betting, but six-time runner-up at the US Open. And obviously back in form and putting well.
Missed the cut here in 2007, though, didn't he?
But he has a bad hand.
Yeah, there were extenuating circumstances. Yeah. He did get injured there, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, he had a bad wrist.
Yeah. Do you think he'll go well then, Phil Mickelson, Dave?
I think so. I'm just sort of annoyed I didn't get... Was he 40s, I think?
Yes.
Obviously, he played well at St. Jude, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've backed him so many times. And maybe I've got an element of... I think I'll move on now. Do you know what I mean?
To be fair, he's getting quite old, isn't he?
He's not won anywhere since his Open win.
Yeah, Muirfield.
Brilliant, isn't he? But
yeah.
I think it is time to move on.
Any others worthy of mention before we move on to some of the side markets?
Right, yes, Snedeker are definitely worth a mention. Bubba, as I said earlier on, that those two were closest. Bubba will be either feast or a famine, won't he? He'll either love it again or you go 80-80 in the first two rounds. Take your pick. But he is 42-1, rather surprisingly.
I had him down as a pick from you, Mike,
did you?
This week. Yeah, I thought you might have gone for him.
I wondered if Mike would have picked Kuchar.
Kuchar, yeah, he's definitely there. He's playing very well, isn't he? But his price is 33, isn't he? Yet to win a major. You know, probably he's better at finishing top 10 these days than winning.
Yeah.
But he's in very good form. And he's got a really consistent record in the US Open. So, you wouldn't have been a million miles off there, Dave. You look at his last five finishes, all in the top 30.
He's one of those top 10, top 20 bets.
He is.
If you wanted one for your life, probably in the top 20, select Kuchar.
Yeah.
And if he walked up to his ball and it was sort of hidden, he'd just go, oh, golly gosh.
Yeah, and then get on
what
the player.
What a shame.
Yeah.
Jason Day, 13-2. Thoughts on Day? Let's go through the top three in the betting before we do the side markets.
Jason Day, he plays very well in the US Open. He's got a fantastic... he's got 9th, 4th, 2nd, 59nd in the last 5 years backwards, that was. Last year being the ninth. And he's a better player now, isn't he?
Is there scope to back him in the round one leader market? Because the amount of time
11-1 he is to be first round leader. I'd need to have a look. For that market, I'd need to have a more in-depth look at the draw, I think.
Because the amount of times he's gone pillar to post and just kind of think, oh, here we go, he's shot 60.
I was close to picking him actually this week at 13-2. I think it's a decent price on Jason Day. He's won 7 of his last 18 tournaments. Yeah, he's got that form in US Open. Got the perfect game for a US Open as well.
Hits it long,
makes loads of putts. Yeah. There's just not many negatives with Jason Day.
No.
He was the one I fancied out of the top three in the betting. Rory McIlroy 15-2.
No, not for me. I think he likes easier major tests, doesn't he? I think he's a par 70 that's ultra tough. I think that's sort of, you know, a bit of kryptonite to him, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
I agree. And Jordan Spieth, he was 10-1, he's just been clipped into 9-1. Could see him going well, you know, Jordan Spieth again this week.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he? What's he done in the last 6 majors? Just fun. Has it any of them? I don't think one of them's been out of the top 4, has it? So. Yeah, that means in theory he's a very good each way bet in a major, isn't he?
Yeah,
they've got massive chances, those three. But if the course is uber tough, and it kind of levels the playing field slightly, maybe, I don't know. That would be my view.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't be surprised to see any of them holding up the trophy on Sunday night, would it?
Side markets then before we wrap here. I've got a couple of bets that I like in the side markets. Mike, have you got anything?
Yeah, I was probably going to mention Keimer in the top European day, given that I haven't picked him and he was so close to being in my list. But you've mentioned him, so I expect Keimer to could have a very good week.
16-1 he is to be top European. That's 50 odds.
And
one,
I
two,
must
three,
mention.
Four.
Sorry to interrupt, Dave. I must also mention. Just if you wanted a wild outsider in that one. I still think Søren Kjelsen is slightly underrated by the market. I think he's about 50-1 in that top European.
Yeah.
If your David Toms, Jim Furyk guys are playing well this week, Kjelsen's in better form than any of them.
Yeah.
And he's a big price outright.
I think it's a decent market to have a crack at. If you think McIlroy's powers are negated. If you think Rose's back's an issue, then there's scope there, isn't there, land some
decent money. Definitely, because it's 10-1 bar those top two at the top of that European
market. It is an interesting market, that is.
Dave?
Yeah, Goose, and I didn't know until I came in when you made this link to Olympic Club. He was 10th there.
Yeah.
So Goose and in a side market. He's not won for ages. I think it's 2009, but he's playing really well again. He just missed the top 10 last week. Tied 12th, I think, and that was his third straight missing the top 10.
Yeah.
So you could either say back him for top 20 this week and it's a bit safer, but I'm going to, at the prices, he's 12-1, isn't he, for a top 10?
Yes.
Whereas he's 7-2 for top 20. Because of that gap, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Two-time US Open winner, great temperament, he's got the game for this. And he's just playing really nicely. So I'm going to take a little run at him. I think 12s is a decent price.
Yep. Retief Goosen's one of mine in the side markets. I like him to be top South African at 7-1. I've had a little bet on him in the outright as well, Goosen, but I'll always remember that putting display at Shinnecock when the greens were like lightning.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
He was unbelievable, and he's putted well all season. 16th in strokes gained putting, number one actually in three putt avoidance as well on the tour this season.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, which is interesting. And as Dave mentioned, three top 15 finishes in his last three starts on the PGA Tour. So Retief Goosen, and finally,
is that because you don't like the other South Africans, or are you just kind of going, whatever? Because
I don't like the other South Africans, you know, that much. No, I understand where you're coming from with Schwartzel, but I'm not sure about Grace in this kind of test.
Right.
But yeah,
or Roosthuizen as well.
Yeah, I do like Goosen in that market, but you're right. I've had a few quid on him in the outright market as well, so I think he could be. Hopefully top South African. Tim Wilkinson's the other one in the match bet in the top New Zealander against Danny Lee at 9-4. I'm going to have a few quid on that. He's putted brilliantly on tour this season, and he's had a couple of really good results. 11th at the Wells Fargo, followed by 4th at the Byron Nelson. Danny Lee's gone off the boil slightly and missed the cut on his only US Open start by a mile last year at Chambers Bay. So I'm hoping for that bet it remains fast and firm, because Wilkinson is not the longest. So 9-4, Tim Wilkinson to be
just two of
top
them,
New Zealand.
Yeah,
just two
it was
of them
like that in the Masters, wasn't it? Where it was Keimer versus Langer, and Keimer's got a dreadful Masters record. Langer's just Mr. Reliable.
He was really well backed in
and
that
Langer
market, wasn't he?
Did really well, didn't he, in the end, and hammered him in that.
Okay, chaps, let's wrap with the selections for this week then. Mike.
Yeah. I'll have a point each way on both of mine. Patrick Reed at 52-1 and Jason Duffner at 100s. As you rightly said earlier, Dave, there may be William Hill odds compilers tend to push out the prices on Wednesday morning, UK time. So maybe prudence is just see what the prices are then and hold fire if you're backing either of those, or any of these, in fact. 50s and 100s will do for me, though.
Dave Tindall?
Yeah, both mine, Leishman and Schwartzel, 66s as we speak. I'm hoping Leishman will drift out a little bit, but I'll have a point each way on both. Probably strike those bets tomorrow, on Wednesday, that is.
Yeah.
And then the side market, Retief Goosen, 12-1 for a top 10. I'm going to have 2 points on that.
I might be tempted to join you in a bet there on Goosen. I'm going a point each way, Martin Keimer, 66-1. And as it stands, half a point each way, Webb Simpson, 80-1. But I'll up my stake if he gets bigger on Wednesday morning. Side markets, Retief Goosen, to be the top South African, 7-1, and Tim Wilkinson in a match against Danny Lee in that top New Zealander market at 9-4.
One final thing, because we've not mentioned him, Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, 14-1.
Yep.
Are we all thinking, he'll probably play really well, but that price is a bit naff? Is that the general thinking on him?
I think it's a bit short, yes. I think that's a good summary. I think he'll play very well. He hits it a mile, which could be a big advantage here. And he does very well in US Opens. But 14-1, when you've got the strength of the top three, it's just a price, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's always a calamity around the corner lurking for Dustin Johnson, and that's I know it might be overblown slightly. I just remember all the instances.
I did back him last year in this event, though, when he managed to monumentally mess up.
Do you know, I think
and Pebble Beach was one of the I backed him at Pebble Beach, and that final round where. I know he's a much older, more experienced player now, but not a lot's going in, really, is it? He's not learning that much from these mistakes.
Do you not think, though, he gets a lot more stick just because of how it happens? If you're just going on his results, you think, he looks a good bet because he's come this. But because would you not rather have someone who gives you all that hope and chance to maybe trade and back other players than someone who's never gets in the contention in the first place?
I think you're probably right, but I don't think the compilers view it like that, though, do they? I don't think they think, we can push him out to whatever price because we know there's something lurking for him. I get the feeling he's always reasonably well found in the markets for these majors nowadays. 14-1's probably fair, is it? Probably about the right price.
Fair, I would say, if anything, slightly short possible, but he's in very... last two outings have been very, very good. Top five finishes, and his last 2 years open is the same, so he's got a big chance.
Thank you, chaps. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at mgrenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, at D Kellner. Who's the player you don't want to
You're
win?
You're going to forget that unless I waved at you. Tell the listeners the truth.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Matty? I suppose Keimer would have come close.
Keimer would be close, but Keimer and Bubba were right there in Snedeker. If I was picking five, they'd be the three extra ones.
We've just talked about Dustin Johnson.
Really?
Because I think he's got a massive chance, yeah. But I just can't quite pull the trigger at that price.
Mine's Brooks Koepka. I think if I had another pick, I'd be picking Brooks Koepka, but I can't forgive him for what happened at the Byron Nelson. Follow us all on Twitter, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, at D. Kellner. And make sure you check us out on audioboom.com, type in William Hill, and you can catch us on iTunes as well. Enjoy it, folks. The US Open at Oakmont, and it will be a test for the players, 116th edition. And we'll catch up next week for a debrief.
What's going to be par, Dave?
Oh, that's a good question.
You didn't answer, did you? You didn't. I said plus five.
Higher or lower, my love?
Have a
I think the scoring's going to be lower. I'll go for the winning total to be plus one. I'm going for.
I hope I'm nearer than him. As long as I get that right, I'll be happy.
I'm splitting the difference. I'm going plus three.
To be the winning score. Tweet us your guesses right now. Yeah. Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. We'll be back with a debrief next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.